Can I just mention?
Yes.
I'm looking at some of the records of Chicago's famous Provident Hospital, where black folks were serving, and I see a Henry Kress in the Department of General Practice listed there.
Yeah, that's my daddy.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
This is WPFW 89.3 FM, special edition of I Mix What I Like, paying tribute to the late Dr. Francis Kress Welsing. And in this last portion here, and continuing into the next hour with Lorne Kress Love, the sister of Francis Kress Welsing, sharing with us some fascinating and I think very important history. So we're going to take a quick break and come right back with more of the I Mix What I Like extended crew in this conversation, and more, so much more coming up in this next hour on WPFW 89.3 FM. Back in just a minute. Peace.
It's Blackfish Fridays.
They throw the tear gas, we throw it right back. Spin the block and we'll be right back.
Yeah.
Seven cops down, they don't like that.
Damn.
This Baltimore City, we fight back.
No.
Lock my mans up and he'll be right back.
Back.
I'd rather bear arms and throw my hands up.
Woo.
Oh, they about to send the troops in. When the sun go down, we'll be right back.
Yeah.
Right back.
Right back.
Right back. All my comrades, we'll be right back.
Back.
Right back.
Back.
Right back. Grab the gas mask, we'll be right back. Right back, right back. The curfew, we'll be right back. Yeah, they made us disperse, but we'll regroup and we'll be right back. Cops killing us, now they blaming us. Why the hell you think the city flaming up? Cops posted at the mall though. Oh, I guess my life ain't got a price tag. Yeah, y'all done opened up the right bag. I'm talking all black with the black mask. I just ordered them some shoulder pads. Ready for whatever, boy, you know it's bad. Thought that a cop car burnt up. They done got a whole hood worked up. I see a heat wave yelling surf's up. Baltimore City will be turned up. Fight back, fight back. The system will need the system. Fight back, fight back. Pigs and whoever sent them. Right back, right back. All my comrades will be right back. Right back, right back. The whole west side will be right back. Right back, right back. The whole east side will be right back. Right back, right back. The curfew will be right back. Yeah.
I mix what I like, what I like.
Right back.
It's Blackfish Fridays.
I mix what I like, what I like.
Brothers and sisters. Brothers and sisters, I don't know what this world is coming to.
It's racial.
Well, expand.
I like that. Now, check it out. The white ball dominates everything, right? Knocks out the yellow ball, the red ball, right? And the game's over when the white ball drives the black ball completely off the table. Now, why is that?
I don't know, but I'm sure you tell me, my brother.
Sure, you're right. Look, it's because of the white man's fear of the sexual potency of black balls.
Now, that one was kind of interesting. That was interesting.
You see, what was...
I see where you're going, and the pool table is the earth. That's why it's green.
Oh, see, your is coming out now.
And the world, they used to think it was flat.
Screw him.
Hey, when you do the Oprah Winfrey show, I'm going to be front row.
It's not about jokes. Me and him are here. It's not about...
Yeah, but that one was kind of deep. You went to the bottom of the ocean on that. Yeah, but losers get the beer, so...
Well, I'm going to get the beer. But see how our thing is here?
Oh, yes. We're on the same wavelength.
There it is.
We're the same cat.
Get him there.
Okay, I get him. I'm going to work on him.
All right.
Yo, man, he's getting worse. We got to find him a woman quick.
White man came to Africa with rifles and Bibles, changed the name, started losing the title. Welcome back to I Mix What I Like, WPFW 89.3 FM. I started to actually rhyme that, but I'm not an MC, so I just
It actually
spoke.
Rhymed, though.
It rhymed, though.
It did rhyme, though.
I mean, that's dead prez, but I mean, yeah. I was going to actually perform it. But, you know, keep that for the solo car rides and traffic.
That's it. Amazing MCs.
I'm a vicious car freestyler.
Just nobody else knows that. So you have to go on the strength of my word on that one. But anyway, welcome back to I Mix What I Like, WPFW 89.3 FM, special extended tribute to Dr. Frances Cress Welsing. We've been talking with her sister, Lauren Cress Love. We have Dr. Hate. We have Dr. Bolden. We have S.E. Ramu. We got Baba Chad. We got Dr. Burroughs. Red Eagle is on the boards. Dr. Moore is coming up in a moment. But Dr. Burroughs, real quick, why don't you give us some background on that clip we just heard from the, 1992? Three? Boomerang? Featuring Eddie Murphy, Boomerang. Martin Lawrence, and David Alan Greer in that scene there. Halle Berry was in that movie.
Robin Givens
was in that movie. Grace Jones was not Grace Jones. That is Grace Jones.
Grace Jones
was in the movie.
Strange. Everybody they could find was in that movie at the moment.
My man who did the 7 Up commercials from the Caribbean was in the movie.
That was
every
Go ahead, Todd.
With Lady Eloise.
Lady Eloise. Oh, Eartha Kitt.
Eartha Kitt.
It's where kids know her from who don't know Catwoman. They know her from that. Right. You know what's interesting about Boomerang is that when that movie came out, most of the nation's white film critics talked about how unrealistic it was. In other words, they were not ready to see middle to upper middle class black people in a movie.
Right.
And I never forgot that because I thought that was an interesting.
And that is taken up thematically in the scene with where they go shopping.
Yeah.
Right.
And they're getting stared at, and the woman says, you know, there's no return policy on the suits or whatever, you know.
But in the pool scene, Dr. Burroughs, you made contact with Reginald Hudlin, and what'd you find out about how Frances Cress Welsing enters that?
Interestingly enough, that pool scene was inspired by Martin Lawrence. And he is the last person, frankly, I would have thought who would have read.
No, I'm sorry, Todd. Hold on one sec. We got to clear this up. Forgive us for doing this on the air, but if we could ask the folks on the phone, if you're not talking, to hear as cleanly as possible here. But Dr. Burroughs, please continue.
No problem. And I was saying that Martin Lawrence would probably be the last person I would think. Because of his public persona, to be into Dr. Frances Cress Welsing. So I was pleasantly surprised by finding out from Reginald Hudlin that was Martin Lawrence's idea.
Well, you know, I thought of, just as you were saying that, I was reminded, you know, there's that somewhat famous that went viral clip of Tommy Lee Davidson, the comedian famously from Living Color. In an interview after one of his stand-up shows, where he's in an interview breaking down a lot of this history. Like, he apparently has studied a lot of the African-centered histories that are not taught in institutions. And I don't know that he mentioned her by name, but it was pretty clear that he had read Cress Welsing's work and the work of some others in that interview. So it in some ways may not be that surprising that someone even in that circuit like Martin Lawrence would have been exposed to those ideas and even moved by them. By the way, is there a better explanation out there for the coloring of the pool game?
I can't imagine.
I mean, are there any pool aficionados that could better define or explain why the coloring system is as it is in pool?
And why the black ball has to be the last one to go.
And the white one is the dominant.
Right.
The only one that can't be removed if you want to win.
True. And if you hit the white ball in,
you lose.
Game over.
Game over.
Wow.
So
that is all in ISIS papers and Cress theory of color confrontation, folks.
And then for me, because I know we're going to get into this in this hour a little bit, but for me, the issue is, for those who have a critique of her position, it's what is best in evidence to support her, even before you get into her analysis, at least from my perspective, is the way institutionally, at least collectively, at least, white people treat non-white people. So the joke of Martin Lawrence, for instance, that we just played, or the serious work of Cress Welsing that we're talking about, is given context by the actual lived experience and histories of these people, the peoples involved. So it's always amazing to me when people, not always amazing. I mean, I understand the discomfort that comes with these analyses, but it's always somewhat amazing that when people hear them, that there is still, without consideration, at least without serious consideration, too many people willing to walk away from it.
You know, and then even in that scene, like from as a psychologist, from the racial identity perspective, Martin Lawrence represents somebody who's in contact and comfortable with black culture and going to deal with the racism, global white supremacy, and how that impacts black people and the world's majority populations by the world's minority population, right? Eddie Murphy represents the institution builder and somebody who is more affluent and
the bridge between the two.
Right. And then David Alan Greer represents the acculturated person who is uncomfortable with dealing with blackness,
which comes up again in the scene with his parents coming to the dinner.
Right.
And his whole thing, and even the question is asked, like, what did you, the father says, like, what did you do to this boy, to the mother? Like, what did you do to him to make him turn out, you know, was it like send him to the fancy schools or something like that? So it plays out in that film even. But I think covers accurately, I think is your point, or part of your point, what happens in real life.
And the class dimensions of it. And then black folks just having a barbershop conversation over pool.
That's right.
Yeah. Francis Cress Welsing is the conversation in the barbershops.
Oh, clearly.
Not in academia.
Nope.
Evidenced by Howard University's faculty in the Department of Psychiatry that voted not to give her tenure.
Right.
But then Howard University's peoples bring her right back, and she runs the Cress Welsing Institute.
Oh, and
at Howard.
And first of all, I was at least for a time a regular attendee, not as long as it was going on, but she was giving those weekly lectures at Howard to the community. And everywhere she shows up, packs the house.
Right.
You know, many of us, myself included, are familiar with being invited places where that's not the case. Like, no matter how smart we think we are, we don't have that draw. But I've never been somewhere where she was, you know, particularly the headliner, where it wasn't full to capacity. You want to say something about it?
Yeah. I just wanted to interject the question. I had a friend who was real upset about that scene, and he was
in
upset.
Boomerang.
Yes.
Yeah.
The fact that they made comedy of a serious issue. What are y'all take on the fact? Now we can look at it in a different light, but back then he was furious because he said this is a serious topic.
Well, I think he's right. I mean, I do think he's right, and I like that scene. I like that movie, but in the context of Hollywood, that's as close as you're going to get to any kind of consideration of that thought, that realm of thought. So I think he's right fundamentally. You know, the same thing, because there's a running theme. And in the book Soul Thieves, shout out to my chair and colleague at Morgan State, the book Soul Thieves by Barudi Capano, edited by in part by Dr. Capano, Barudi Capano. There's a chapter in there by James Conyers talking about the depiction in Hollywood of black radicalism that does something that I've been very interested in for a long time, where, you know, if you look at the way Hollywood depicts black radical ideas and radical people, it's often in a comedic way. They're the foil to the cool gangster or whatever, you know, they're played against that in these films. And in that time period, I keep thinking of, Boys in the Hood. Not Boys in the Hood as much as the other one.
Menace
to Society, where they made fun of the Muhammad brother the whole time. You know, oh, go get a bean. But he was just sitting literally in the back of the car, you know, offering something of substance and just being dismissed. And that's usually how it plays out. So I'm not surprised that in a film like that would be the only way. I mean, I think your friend is right fundamentally.
But the difference I would take is the moment that you say Francis Cress Welsing teaches us, it immediately sounds preachy in a movie and a reach. So I think Martin's genius in doing as Dr. Burroughs was saying, Reginald Hudlin didn't see that scene as going in the way it did. Martin was the one that actually brought it to the fore, which is Martin's genius. You make people think by laughing, and you say some profound stuff, but you keep it light. Doesn't always have to beat them over the head with it.
But let's check real quick in another approach in film before we get to Dr. Moore.
True.
And we can make this comparison. I think this is a good time to make that comparison.
The beating over the head approach.
There is another approach that has been used in a popular mainstream Hollywood film. So, Reddy, we'll bring that up for us right now. Go ahead, play that for us real quick. This is I Mix What I Like, WPFW 89.3 FM.
There's this psychiatrist, a lady named Dr. Frances Cress Welsing. She has a theory about the black man in America. She says that because of the system of racism, the black man in this country has been made to think of himself as a baby, a not yet fully formed being who has not realized his full potential. To support her claim, she offers the following. First off, what does a black man call his woman? Mama. Secondly, what does a black man call his closest acquaintances? His boys. And finally, what does a black man call his place of residence? The crib.
That, of course, from the introduction to the film Baby Boy, the popular film. What was that, 1990-something or other, with Taraji P. Henson's first big film, right?
And Tyrese.
That was his first big film, too? Yeah, Tyrese, yeah.
Probably so. Ving Rhames was in it.
Ving Rhames was in
that. Not the Pulp Fiction type,
nope,
though?
Not at all.
Yeah.
The dark-skinned sister from House Party was in it.
Right.
His love interest and the mother of Tyrese, and yeah.
But the point there is
exactly, yeah.
When you introduce it exactly with that discussion, mm-hmm. there are folks that may just gloss over,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
Like so, in Martin's words, "You bleed me." You right, talking too right, much right. versus putting it in a comedic way that might make it a profound statement, but you take it lighter, right?
No, absolutely.
Now, yeah. This is both Singleton and Reginald Hudlin.
Right.
And, you know, we see Hudlin come out later with, Todd, what's the series that Hudlin did that you write about?
Black Panther comic?
Yeah, the Black Panther comic.
The Black Panther comic.
And so you see these folks continuing to press the issues around what a black sovereign space would look like in a cartoon.
Mm-hmm.
And we wouldn't for one second say, well, that just diminishes the idea of African sovereignty. But it really is the exploration and the imagination to say, what would it look like if we put our sovereignty on film in these ways?
Now, of course, in that film, with Baby Boy, they have to do it, again, sort of my point about Boomerang, they have to introduce her, even when they mention her by name, they tend toward the more conservative approach of her work, with the conservative side of her work, by focusing on the impact and how black people respond to the white supremacy, as opposed to focusing on what is causing in this case, black men to refer to their women as mama and their homes as cribs. Like and the film itself is meant to take a very conservative inward look, to say, as is often done when black pathology is strewn about in popular media, well, this is what actually happens. This is what people actually do. We have to actually show what really goes on. But the part that never gets shown is the formation of the state or the institutions that create all of this.
Sure.
So that film, then it's just another, you know, 2 hours of black pathology that mm-hmm. people can, and white audiences in particular, can enjoy without any real conflict with radical politics or the work of Cress Welsing as well.
But in the light of thinking about, you know, the color theory and Dr. Cress Welsing's work on melanin, we've had with us a scholar on hold for a minute who is part of that generation of folks who have continued the work on melanin. I want to get to you immediately, Dr. T. Owens Moore, who is with us by phone. And Dr. Moore, are you there?
Yes. Greetings, comrades.
All right. Thank you so much for your patience and time. We know you've been on the phone for a long time.
Welcome back. Welcome to the show, man. Welcome. It's good to catch up with you again.
Now, and we had the pleasure of inviting Dr. Moore and Dr. Welsing to be on a panel together in 2011 with the Association of Black Psychologists, and he was there in the audience when the Florida A&M University Department of Psychology honored Dr. Cress Welsing. And Dr. Moore, we just want to hear about your work. Just briefly, Dr. Moore is trained as a physiological psychologist, a graduate of Lincoln University in Pennsylvania, and an MS and PhD from Howard University in the Department of Psychology. For over 24 years, he served as a college professor, biomedical researcher, and active African-centered scholar activist. Dr. Moore, please tell us Dr. Welsing's influence on your research in melanin.
Yes, my brothers, but you know I got to help you and promote the WPFW 89.3. You know, you mentioned the universities there, but right now you got the I mix what I like university. I mean, just that. Look at the radio dial. There's no other station that's delivering what you're doing. You guys are in a tradition of warriors that came before you. I mean, I heard you mention Tom Porter, you know, Ambrose Lane. You didn't talk about Jesse McDade, but Jesse McDade had the spear. You guys are presenting provocative information by provocative scholars. And that's what Dr. Francis Welsing was, a provocative scholar. When I was there in D.C. in the area, I mean, the opportunity to be at her foot, to hear what she has to say about dynamics that no one else is talking about, she'll change the scope of your thinking. And I think that's how you, just the stuff with the media, you now have some, you know, media folks trying to put it in there. Just little tidbits. You got to make revolution appeal to the people, and I think you all do that very, very, very well with I Mix What I Like. So in the context of me being in D.C. and going through graduate school and getting my Ph.D. in an area called physiological psychology and hearing Dr. Welsing express these concepts about white supremacy, what's going on with this? So she almost challenged me not to get my degree because, you know, we're starting to now address some issues that are complicated for the establishment. So I, you know, put my ideas together, and as a brain scientist, neuroscientist, you know, we can't just say the skin melanin is the only melanin we're talking about. We're also talking about this melanin also in the body, in the nervous system. So with her thoughts, with her ideas, her position, it allowed me to put together a book called The Science of Melanin to now go deeper into the brain where our thoughts and our consciousness actually emanate. So when you look at the brain, we're talking about the manifestation of everything that is created. It comes from the brain. Well, if there's any like challenges or changes that go on internally in the brain, guess what? It's going to have an impact on your behavior. So in that context is what led me to really appreciate her work. And, you know, I didn't really first meet her until 2007. Went to a conference in Fisk University, and she was on the same agenda, and we had a chance to dialogue and talk. You just mentioned about FAMU, Florida A&M. They actually honored her in 2014. She was in the front row for 2 days and listened to every presentation related to her work. She said it was the best conference she had ever gone to. So for her and for us, we honored her when she was alive. Today is her birthday. And I'm honored that you also had me on after her sister, Lauren Kresslow, who's also a WPFW, person who's provided knowledge to the people. So to have the elders speak before, to share the life of Dr. Welsing, I mean, that's a monumental feeling. You know, I just came from, Mississippi and presented on still honoring her work. I titled my project, The Voice of ISIS Echoes Forever. So people might think of ISIS talking about the Islamic State, but no, we're talking about Sister Francis Welsing and her work. The theme of the conference was Voices of a Global Black Community. So that's a voice that needs to be continually heard. She, meeting nearly four in the past, you know, she said nearly four's work needs to be heard. How else are we going to get the voices out there unless we have venues like WPFW 89.3 and what you all do there in the station? So for me to now see others who have never heard of her in 2016, you start to scratch your head, where are people's heads buried? I had a colleague that was close to probably 70 years old in education, PhD, never heard of Dr. Wells. When I told her she had passed January 2nd, she says, who's that? I said, she talked about white supremacy. My colleague turned her head like, oh, we don't need to talk about that. My goodness. She's talking about the level of ignorance. Got all this, these challenges right now with the pollen in the air in the springtime, people catching colds. You know what? People are catching ignorance. I appreciate you all just putting it out there, letting people know who, you know, Dr. Weldon is, and sharing her wealth of information from many angles. You know, how do we also honor them unless we will continue their presence in our midst? So the challenge has been, though, for people to critique her work, that they express the interest of the psychogenetic theory. The psychogenetic component deals with the issue of melanin. Okay, so for the dynamic of melanin, Europeans are certainly going to be leery about a term like that because it's something they lack. So within her theory, her two driving principles are that Europeans basically are numerically inadequate. They're not the largest amount of people on the planet. Number two is that they may be genetically inferior. Why? Because they lack the ability to produce melanin, which means they can be canceled out. So when you read the ISIS papers and the thorough chapters, it's almost 25 chapters. I mean, that book was pretty much compiled in 1991, but her theories go back to the 70s. He's been talking things for years.
Well, let me ask you, if you don't mind, and just remind folks again, this is WPFW 89.3 FM. I Mix What I Like, special extended tribute to Dr. Francis Cress Welsing. Professor Moore, you know, there's been there's an ongoing, obviously, argument and debate about her work. And one of the things that keeps coming up from at least one wing of her critics, which is a group with which I engage, that is the so-called Black Materialist Left, is that she's a biological determinist. That is, that she is saying that their critique of her is that she's saying, or as they understand it, she's saying that it's the fact that white people are white that creates this problem of white supremacy, as opposed to in their language the that being an offshoot of imperialism and capitalism. And so one, I want, if you would just respond to that critique, but also in the context of me, at least for me, I don't understand her argument to be that. So one, if you wouldn't mind saying a word or two about how you interpret her work, or if in fact this label biological determinism is appropriate, and then maybe respond to this other part of the critique, if you don't mind, that in terms of how she approached and even how you approached the origin of this problem of white supremacy.
Right. The thing about theories cannot be proven, but they can be disproven. So the reality is, for the critics and people who question her work, will disprove what she's saying. If you have today all these dynamics with Trump and his words acting like a WWF, Wild World Wrestling Federation in the pulpit, that's almost like white supremacy being exuded. It's almost like a virus, and that's what Dr. Welsing spoke about over the years. White supremacy is a virus. Racism is a disease. So from her standpoint, she's using multiple examples from, you know, education, economics, entertainment, law, politics. She goes through the whole realm, religion. So she is using those ideas and thoughts about the mind. You heard her first, you heard her words as you all presented the program. She's saying that she looks at the whole dynamic externally, not just internally. So who is it that creates these external scenarios, in her opinion, is those who are less pigmented. What? White people. So for her, she's using the outside world that has created things. So for me, as I look at Chicken Diop's work and talk about the, you know, two cradle civilization, you start talking about the dynamic of the environment and culture. You know what? Perhaps if we were the ones stuck in the ice, that is melanated people or people of a hue or stuck in the ice and or lacking things, guess what? We might be the ones that are raping and pillaging and taking and always trying to get things. So the environment can have an impact strongly on a people's cultural outlook on the world. So she's critiqued because hers is more focused on a psychogenetic theory, meaning the lack of the melanin causes people to be a challenge. She has a chapter called the Neurochemical Basis of Evil. So for her, she's saying there's some real outcomes to have a lack of melanin, where you then do not become more connected to nature, making you then unable to deal with people on a natural level. So for her, the psychogenetic piece is the problem with critics. But when you look at how the critics will state her work on, let's say, the internet or just general comments, they'll say that the melanin theory is like a pseudo-scientific theory. She put pseudo in there because you want to say, well, it's just make-believe stuff. And then they put black supremacy in there. Black supremacy. She never said black supremacy. People talk about the Nation of Islam and how they are the black supremacists. They never talked about black supremacy. And since it's based on melanin, which does have some scientific properties and qualities, Europeans negate it because they say it's pseudo-scientific. It's not real. She's never said supremacy. So I think where the problem is that people think that she's saying that all white people are bad, all black people are good. No one's ever said that. We're talking about the dynamics of melanin works in the body, how it works in the cosmos, because you can't have anything in life without pigment. The food you eat has pigments. Can it have flowers and plants? You can't have anything without chlorophyll, which is pigment. It's the same thing in the body. She said that Europeans are albinos or mutants from albinos, and albinos are people who lack melanin. But white people can tan, but they don't have enough of the melanin to become darker. So the melanin becomes a strong component that helps people focus on nature. So that's how we pretty much comment on this issue of people who are critiquing her so-called biological determinism. She's just focusing on the reality. And again, if you can't disprove what she's saying, then what is your argument?
So, Dr. Moore, just to further the support there, there was a time where Tiger Woods' scandal about how many white women he was sleeping with created panic for sex therapists because white men were coming into their offices and talking about wondering if Tiger Woods was sleeping with their wife. Mm. And the sex therapist talked about how these white men would actually have their potency increased because they were able to compete with what was considered the apex of manhood in Tiger Woods at the time. And so you recognize that black manhood, as Francis Cress Welsing is talking about, produces the ability to have a genetic offspring that would be black or melaninated, makes white folks recognize in their, specifically white men, in their inability to produce a melaninated child from their own genetic offspring, they then compete with the top predator, as they see it, in the planet. And that's where you mix fear of a black planet with Public Enemy saying, man, I don't want your wife. And thinking about how the sex therapists themselves were saying that the potency, meaning the sperm count of white men, would actually increase when they felt like they defeated a black man, i.e. were able to be with the woman that the black man wanted to sleep with. And then if you think about the perspective of the phallic symbols being taken off of lynched black men. You got to, I'm going to ask those folks who are critics to explain, why would anyone want to keep the phallic symbol? Like, why would you want that as a trophy? What does that do for you if you don't feel like you just conquered that beast that you so fear?
Can I just very quickly, I was reminded of the short story by James Baldwin, Going to Meet the Man, and I just looked it up on Wikipedia, and the first line of the Wikipedia plot summary is accurate in terms of my memory of the story. Jesse, the town sheriff, and his wife Grace are in bed. They are both white, living within a small southern city. Jesse wants to have sex with his wife, but cannot seem to have the energy or ability to get an erection. He lies with his wife in bed, waiting the night out with his thoughts and ideas. He calls out to and that's, by the way, that's how the story starts. It ends with the sheriff lynching a black man and taking home parts of his reproductive anatomy for permanent storage in his cupboard. Anyways, that's James Baldwin, you know, going to meet the man, you know. So yeah, anyway,
all pauses included.
Yeah. All pauses. They come preloaded.
And the thing is, here, James Baldwin is a literary writer. You just mentioned earlier about the movie directors and producers. Well, Baldwin was a master at studying the mind. How are we going to now cancel out her professional career as a psychiatrist? I mean, you just mentioned the dynamic of the Tiger Woods story and the sex therapist talking about white men's views. She was a master at analyzing that. That's why I'm saying her voice cannot be unheard. Because when you start talking about now studying the theory, so-called, the Crest theory of color confrontation, and then you start to now continually to have these points of evidence, guess what? Theory comes to law. You no longer can disprove it. And like, well, it happens all the time. I mean, what's happening right now in the United States politics? That's the white supremacy virus just leaking out. It's almost like a dynamic where people are controlled by an outside force. They don't understand what it is.
Again, this is Unmixed What I Like. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead. Please, I didn't mean to step over you there. Go ahead. Finish.
Yeah, I'm just saying that right now we are missing a voice who really has fought her life on trying to correct and put us back into a position of being conscious. And so I'm just saying that I appreciate what you guys are doing on a weekly basis. I don't know if it's a daily show, but just that today to honor her on her birthday.
No, it's just today. It's just today. We're
in retirement.
We're in retirement. We're coming out of retirement. We're putting the 45s back on our jersey. But this is our Mixed What I Like WPFW special tribute to Dr. Francis Cress Welsing in the last quarter or so of the show. I did want to. I want to come back to that. If unless anyone else has something they want to get in on, I do want to ask this question, particularly in light of your work, Dr. Moore. And by the way, we remind people that our previous interviews with Mr. Neely Fuller are on our website at imixwhatilike.org. You can check those out. And again,
Dr. Edward Bruce Bynum as well.
Edward Bruce Bynum, exactly. That's on the site as well. And again, that classic conversation hosted by S.E. Ramu between Drs. Marimba Ani and Francis Cress Welsing is there as well. But Dr. Moore, you know, because I do work. I don't want to say straddle the line, because I think that brings all kinds of inappropriate comparisons. But I do gravitate in or move within this conversation between the race men and women and the materialists, and while I am very much drawn to the socialist struggle, the anti-imperialist struggle, and the fights particularly that have come out of that struggle, the wing of work that you deal with, that Cress Welsing dealt with, that others deal with, is beyond compelling. It even if for people like me it is a little unsettling and uncomfortable, but that shouldn't prevent an engagement with the ideas and a serious look at the ideas, especially given the world that we live in. I mean, the biggest problem for me with people who critique Cress Welsing is that they seem to do it outside the context of what is going on in the world. And when you look institutionally at the relationship of white and black or white and non-white, it's incontrovertible, really. I mean, there's no argument here. There can be differences in opinion about how we got here or what we do next. But discounting someone's this work just on the basis of being uncomfortable, I think is insufficient. And a lot of those critiques have come out since her death, in spaces that I respect even. So can we talk just a little bit about the work that you do and how it relates to her theory? That is, kind of going back to this argument of biological determinism. Your work focuses a lot on the scientific and physical impact, or beyond that, actually, because you get into much more than that, actually. But you talk about the role that melanin plays in our physical and immaterial lives. Could you say a little bit about that? And then maybe even respond to that, because it seems like that quick, because I can hear how people would hear that analysis and be like, well, you are saying black people are, particularly darker skinned black people, are superior, and that white people and those of us who are melaninly challenged are somehow inferior. But clear that up if you would, or say something about that if you would, please.
Well, Well, I can just say something because, you know, we're never going to clear this up because Dr. Wells is right. Really trying to help clear these things up. But if you have a Volkswagen, Beetle, and let's say you maybe got a Lexus, maybe a Lexus 350 or something, and you put them together, and you know, so you go ahead and maybe race or just ride, or just cruise. I mean, they both can race, ride, and cruise, but one of them may be a different ride. They both got wheels, both got four tires, both got an engine. One's going to ride a little different. You can use that for any comparison of a high-powered car and a lower-powered car. The issue about the melanin, when you think about the properties of how it works, it's a neutralizer of toxic substances. I mean, when people say black don't crack, it's just a little simple term. But what does that really mean? You're talking about the way that melanin absorbs toxic chemicals, free radicals that make cells die. Melanin absorbs that to what keep the skin looking fresh. It doesn't do that just on the inside, I mean, outside of the body. It does that on the inside of the body. People who have problems like Parkinson's disease, why do they develop Parkinson's disease? Which is a neurodegenerative disorder. That means your brain is deteriorating. Those melanated cells are no longer kicking in the dopamine. What is dopamine for? It's not just for movement. It's also for a higher state of being, like a euphoric feeling. So you now got cells that may be what diminished in the brain. Those are melanated cells. And you can see the ramifications of it in a behavioral disorder like Parkinson's disease. That's just on the neutralization of toxic chemicals.
So does that mean that there are fewer rates of Parkinson's within black communities and white communities?
Well, we have to now look at why does it even happen in the first place? Because it doesn't happen when people are young. It happens when they get older. So you look at what's going on in Flint, Michigan right now. They got some lead problems in the water, right? You consume the water, you consume the lead, it's in your body. It goes what? Into your brain and your organ. So depending upon where people live, people live around a lot of pesticides. They live a lot of farming. So we can't maybe make too simple of analysis that, oh, more white people get more Parkinson's than black people. But we can start to look at the dynamics of your protection. The more you have melanin working, the more you have protection to not succumb to it.
Or get punched in the head for 20 years like Muhammad Ali.
Well, for them, they say that he had pugilistic Parkinson's, like he got hit in the head a lot. But there's a whole lot of people that got hit in the head a lot. But I don't know a lot of people who talk like him and hit people in the head. So he might have been taken out. That's a whole other discussion we can talk about another time.
Wow, so that's a good teaser, too. That's a good tease for the next special edition of I Mix What I Like. We're going to come back and unravel the Muhammad Ali conspiracy.
Yeah, so that first, the whole dynamic of the neutralization piece is key as to say how melanin works. Nobody said superior. I didn't even say inferior. I'm just talking about how the chemical works. Energy transformer, it helps. Everywhere you see it in the body is transforming energy from the outside for the inside of the body to interpret. We are now on the radio, sound waves. What interprets that? The ear. What's in the ear? Inner ear melanin. Where is that? Deep in the cochlea. What is that for? Transferring the frequency so you can hear right. You don't have the melanin in your ear, you're not going to hear properly. Guess what? There may be a reason why we listen to certain kinds of music differently than others. No one said superior. No one said inferior, but you're producing a different level of music. Look at the eye. The eye, on the back part of the eye is the retina. What's the retina? The place where, like, the image is being imprinted before it gets to the brain. It didn't get to the brain yet. In the eye, you have a pigmented cell layer. Guess what? If you do not have the pigmented cell layer, you're not seeing. You're basically blind. So when you see albinos who have the skin problems, you know, we see the lightness in the skin, they also have what? Got to wear dark glasses. Also have some problems with the hearing. Other abnormalities because they lack the melanin, which is a natural chemical element. That's energy transformation. We can go deal with that with the skin too, but that's another discussion. Third piece is that it acts as a nerve conduction facilitator. Blackness absorbs. Blackness is a situation where it keeps cells firing quicker and faster. Where you see melanated cells in the brain, you have a lot of conduction going on, a lot of opportunities for those pigmented cells to be producing the neurotransmitters like dopamine, like norepinephrine. Without those neurotransmitters, guess what? Your brain thinking is problematic. There's a genetic disorder called phenylketonuria, PKU. You can look it up in any book. This is primarily associated with people of European white descent. What is it? Too much of this phenylalanine, which is amino acid, it builds up, accumulates, and it becomes toxic. That means if the phenylalanine, which is the precursor molecule to making those neurotransmitters in your brain, if it does not work, then you do not have the neurotransmitters. Guess what? People with PKU have lighter skin, They also have mental retardation and a whole host of other behavioral problems. It can be fixed by the diet. The point we're making here is that, guess what? From the very beginning, these neurotransmitters are dependent upon amino acids, which all relate to then how melanin works. So all I'm saying is there it is right there. Dr. Welding was a psychiatrist studying the mind. All she's doing is sharing with us the issue of how the mind has an impact on what operating and controlling behavior. So when you ask me about the issue of the materialist versus the biological determinist, I mean, she never said superiority. I never said in this discussion superiority. I didn't even say inferiority. We're talking about the science of melanin.
Talking with Dr. Moore here, and I Mix What I Like, WPFW 89.3 FM, wrapping up a great two-hour tribute to Dr. Francis Cress Welsing. Before we get out of here, because I know we're about to have to rush off in a minute, I want to thank Dr. Bolden for putting this program together. I want to thank Katia Stitt for supporting it and helping us. I want to thank Baba Chad, Dr. Burroughs, Dr. Moore, Dr. Bolden, S.C. Ramu, Dr. Haight, and Red Eagle, and Lauren Cress Love for joining us earlier as well. Thank you all for putting this together, doing all of this, and making this such a good program. I just want to get that in because I know we're going to have to rush off in a few minutes. So,
and for those who are interested, the memorial will be Saturday, March 19th. That's tomorrow between 1 and 4 at the Metropolitan AME Church, 1518 M Street Northwest, Washington, D.C., 20005. And keep in mind, this is an AME church. So if you see a Dylan Roof walk in there, be real mindful of what's about to happen.
There was one other thing I wanted to say very quickly about that argument, and then I'm going to leave it alone, at least for now. There's this often a comparison is made between, and I do this too, how in terms of interpreting the value of someone's work by how the state responds to them. And in some of the critiques I've seen after her death, there has been this idea that someone even wrote in Black Agenda Report, that R.L. Stevens wrote in Black Agenda Report, making this comparison, saying that while Fred Hampton was being killed, Cress Welsing was in school or publishing her work, rather. And it's setting up, in this case, I think, a false comparison, suggesting that she wasn't a threat, that all threats were taken out like Fred, and that all those who were not taken out like Fred were not threats. And just in my limited...
Dr. Paul, if I can interrupt for a second. Todd,
let me just finish this real quick, then I'm done. I just wanted to say that because I forget, not knowing her that well personally, I do know, and having been in academia a little bit, I do know that there are other sacrifices people make and other forms punishment takes. So yes, not everyone is taken out like Fred, but that doesn't mean certainly that the state has not responded with hostility to them. I'm sorry, Ty. Go ahead, man.
No, I just wanted to correct that, because while Fred Hampton was being killed, if we could go back less than a year, Dr. Francis Cress Welsing was at the first Black Power Conference in Newark, New Jersey, and Dr. Leonard Jeffries told me that she was the one that was calling for the black men there to go down to the prison and free those black people who had been arrested during the Newark Rebellion, and they were afraid to do that. Dr. Jeffries said, we were afraid of that because we knew that some of us grew up with the Italians who were the police officers. So I don't get what that critique is, because Dr. Welsing was at this back then.
Well, you know, but it's part of that ongoing argument, so-called revolutionary nationalists and cultural nationalists, that it was the revolutionary nationalists were the only ones to get dealt with. And in some cases, this is accurate and true. And it is the host, that we came on after, Bill Fletcher, said recently that there are a lot of people who misuse the red, black, and green to promote the building of their own green. I get all of that. But I'm just saying that I think we need to be more specific if we're going to make public critiques of certain individuals or groups and be as accurate as possible when considering what happened to them.
But real quickly, I heard Fred Hampton Jr., excuse me, speak, and he quoted Dr. Welsing. Mm-hmm. So, like Malcolm said, time will tell. You know, a lot of this stuff is for the next generation to iron out some of these differences between cultural and nationalist, right, the whole question.
Hey, at least she didn't make a career writing about other famous radical people while not adopting their work. That's my biggest pet peeve, not adopting their analysis or their perspective of the world.
She if we put her in context, right? She created a space for black psychology for folks to actually engage the mind in black bookstores. I would venture to say her book is the bestseller from Third World Publishers. And if I look on, if Amazon is any reference of how books do on internet sales, she's 4,091 in the African American Studies section. If you look on, if Google's any indication of how people are cited in Google Scholar, there are only 275 citations of her work, right? Now, that means the academics don't deal her work.
That's right.
When people critique cultural nationalists, they're usually critiquing the academic folks who have embraced a cultural nationalist tradition, specifically Ron Karenga. Ron Karenga and Francis Cress Welsing are not in the same universe, despite his weak attempt to address her passing and what he's written. They never dealt with her work in reality. If you want to read a true praise song for Mama Francis Cress Welsing, check Atlanta Black Star's publishing of Mama Marimba Ani's work, where she praised Francis Cress Welsing and gave her the acknowledgement of inspiring her work of whiteness studies that nobody who teaches in academia anything about whiteness will actually engage. They won't engage Urugu, and they won't engage Francis Cress Welsing's ISIS papers.
Right.
And you got frauds out there who are saying they've read these works and that they dismiss them. And I know these folks.
And we know
and
them.
They lie.
Yes, and they do lie.
And you haven't studied these works, and you can't dismiss them as ahistorical, apolitical, pseudoscientific, because you're not doing the work to actually engage melanin the way you heard a melanin scholar like T. Owens Moore break this stuff down. Go to Japan and figure out what they're studying about melanin.
But real quick, the Interjet is the foundation that those two books have created in the black community.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So we want to thank WPFW for creating this space. And you can listen live tomorrow, where PFW will actually be broadcasting the entire memorial between 12 and 4. The memorial itself begins between 1 and 4, but PFW will start between 12 and 4. So big up to Baba Skia Muhammad and Katia Stitt for making that happen and joining us back tomorrow. And I want to thank you, Dr. Ball, for remixing what you like and bringing this show back to the airwaves so
always
that we could pay tribute to the Queen Mother, Mama Frances Cress Welsing. Mama Lauren, are you on? Lauren Cress Love had joined us earlier.
No, I don't think so.
And we want to
thank her very much. Yeah, thank you very much. Thanks to everybody involved. Peace if you're willing to fight for it. Like Fred Sr. used to say, we'll catch you in the whirlwind. Like Marcus Garvey used to say, imixwhatilike.org for more. At imixwhatilike for all your relevant social media to keep up with us. We're going to ride out here with Dr. Clark and Blackalicious, and we'll catch you all in the whirlwind. Thanks, everybody. Peace if you're willing to fight for it.
It's Black Fist Fridays.
Ladies and gents, soul music lovers everywhere.
All around the universe.
You know as well as I do that things are changing.
Days come. Warning.
Deal. All
right.
Devoted all of my adult life to this subject. I only debate with my equals. All others I teach.
I mix what I like, what I like.
We're taking over radio and whack media.
Please, nothing to say. I swing on your fake radio personalities.
Shut down your operation.
We're taking over radio and whack media.
Please, nothing to say.
I swing on your fake radio personalities.
Shut down your operation.
Gotta listen to how radio be playing us.
Every single day I hear lie after lie.
Gotta listen to how radio be playing us.
The truth is hip hop to show no respect. Why must you believe that something is fact just because it's played on the radio 40 times?
Listen to how radio be playing us.
I can't take no more. It's time for war. It's meant to wake you up out of your brainwashing. It's time for war.
Turn off the radio.
Radio.
Stick a tape in it.
It's time for war.
Cause I've had it.
We're taking over radio and whack media.
I swing on your fake radio personality.
Freeze.
Shut down your operation. We're taking over radio and whack media.
Freeze.
Nothing can save you. I swing on your fake radio personalities.
Shut down your operation.
I don't play that dick. I play that
strictly the hardcore dirty
hip hop. I don't play that dick. I play that
the hardcore dirty street
hip hop. I play that dick. I play that.